Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're all over the NBA draft and who Patrick Williams is. We played you numerous scouting reports. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 312-332-3776. It's been a while since we had our buddy Adam Amin on the show. Adam is doing great work for Fox on the NFL, nationally televised. We haven't had him yet for the Bears. We need him to do a Bears game soon. And,
he doesn't want to do that.
Why not?
That'd be like sentencing him to some sort of punishment.
He's a Chicago guy, though.
I get it. He doesn't want to watch that crap.
He does want to watch the Bulls because he is now the new television voice of the Chicago Bulls, in case you forgot. It's been so many months since the Bulls have been on TV, and they'll be returning here in December. It's a short turnaround, and Adam Amin joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Adam, how you feeling?
Oh, boys, good to hear your voices, man. Honestly, it's great to be with you.
And I mean it when I say, how are you feeling? Because so I thought what you did last week, Adam, if we can go here first, what you tweeted about COVID and about your message to people to just be smart, follow the science, and that you had to deal with COVID. You were off the air for a week at the NFL, and you were pretty damn sick, were you not?
Yeah, I missed a couple games, in fact. And was down for the count for about 12 days, really. I felt some kind of symptom for about almost 2 weeks. And the worst of it wasn't the flu part, which, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, as cases are going up, I'm sure a lot of people will describe very similar things. It was one of the worst flus I've ever had. Like, all the symptoms that maybe you're used to feeling when you've had a bad flu, you probably will feel if you do get this. And those subsided for me after a few days. So I was thankful for that. But what stuck with me and what was scary and what I'm still working through, which, you know, my doctor tells me it may take some time. You know, your body's definitely recovering, but it may take some time, you know, a couple months maybe. It's the breathing. And when my livelihood is my voice and my job is being able to produce sound from my body, and I can't do that because I can't take in the proper amount of air necessary to be able to speak. Like, I'm able to speak to you guys right now for, you know, 30, 40 seconds at a time. I wasn't able to do that for about four and a half days. And for three of those days, it was fairly scary where I'd try to take a deep breath. And, you know, if I did it five times, I would catch a deep breath, maybe one out of those five. And when your body starts failing you, and I'm 33 and I'm fairly healthy. And listen, Sylvie, I'm preaching to the choir right now as somebody who I imagine felt some frustration when you've been healthy most of your life and all of a sudden your body's doing something or dealing with something that it's not used to dealing with. And you can't do the things that you want to do or are used to doing at a normal frequency. That's scary. And that's the part that really opened my eyes. Not, you know, I was diligent about this. I took this seriously. And in the midst of traveling, you know, for my job, I came down with a case of it. And so did a couple of members of my football crew. So for me, really understanding where people are coming from when they react to this, when they get it, it's not something I want people to deal with when they can have the opportunity to mitigate the chances that they have to deal with it, whether personally or somebody that they're close to.
Well said. Yeah.
And very happy to hear that you're doing well.
Yes.
And
yes.
Getting better. Okay. With regard to what we saw last night and the Bulls' selection of Patrick Williams, what are your thoughts?
Sure. I'm sure I'm echoing a lot of the same things that, you know, a lot of really smart, intelligent people have already talked to you guys about. You played some sound, I know, today from some of our buddies about that. So I went back and called some people and talked to my people in Tallahassee and talked to some people around the ACC. And the general consensus is, A, you're getting I know people don't want to hear the cliche stuff about what type of guy he is. He is a high character guy, and that is important to me in this sense because you have a young core with an experienced head coach. who knows how to develop talent, and you want somebody who is going to buy in without much of a sell necessary. I don't think you're going to have to sell Patrick Williams on anything. You're getting Billy Donovan. You're getting a Coby White who's buddies with him, who's now in his second year and is already kind of acting a little bit more like a veteran. You have a potential star, superstar in Zach LaVine, and you've got a lot of pieces. You want buy-in from everybody with a new head coach. I don't think that is going to be a problem at all. This kid, Patrick Williams, would not have gone to Florida State if he didn't want to be coached by a hard-nosed head coach, and that's Leonard Hamilton. The guy's had a huge uptick in the last 7 or 8 years in terms of number of NBA draft picks. Florida State had more draft picks taken before Kentucky. They had 2 draft picks before anybody from Kentucky was drafted, and Kentucky ended up with 3. That also speaks to something you guys have discussed, the depth of Florida State and why Patrick Williams wasn't starting as a freshman, which, again, if he's coming from Kentucky, we're not talking about this. You know, Devin Booker, you know, you used the example, I think, earlier today, and that's the example that I keep pointing to. And I get we're comparing two very different players. Booker, a pure shooter and scorer. Williams, a guy who's going to be leaned on more as a rebounder and defender and an athlete. But still, we wouldn't be having this discussion about, oh, he didn't start a game in college if he was coming from a different program. So just giving enough context there, I feel like that's all important. The defensive part is huge. You know, he comes from an all-switch defense. That's what Leonard Hamilton did. 1 through 5, we're going to switch. That's probably something you're going to have to deal with when you play 6 out of every 10, 3 out of every 5 NBA teams. You're going to have to deal with switching 1 through 5 at one point or another for probably 4 out of 5 teams. So all of those elements feel like a good fit for what this personnel is and what this front office has shifted the tenor of for this Bulls organization.
Talking to Adam Amin, the voice of the Bulls on television. It's Waddle and Sylvie as he joins us on the Corona Hotline. So Waddle and I have spent hours discussing development versus drafting. Like, we always want to know, and we know that they both play a huge part. Like, when it comes to the Bears, hey, is Anthony Miller, was he not a good pick in the second round, or has he not been developed right? You know, Leonard Floyd was a big example of that, too. He was raw. Was that a bad pick? Was he not developed right? How confident are you now, Adam, knowing what Karnishevis has done, knowing how they've built out a staff of development people besides the coaches, that they're going to take a draft pick and develop them better than they've done in recent years?
I think it depends draft to draft, right? And overarching story of the 2020 draft was, this is a development and fit draft, because outside of what ended up being the top 3, I don't think a lot of people, you know, other than Edwards, Wiseman, and Ball, I don't think anybody was really sold on any player being the immediate recognizable generational talent. There is no Zion Williamson in terms of what we expect from a generational talent coming out of college, or in Ball's case, a pro league. There is no blueprint for that in the 2020 draft, the way that we looked at Zion, how he was hyped up in college, the way he dominated, and then seeing what the potential application is at the professional level. There is nobody in this draft other than maybe those 3 guys. And even those 3 guys are question marks in a lot of people's eyes. So this felt like, from top to bottom, across the board, a draft of fit and development. So I think you have to keep that in mind when you're, you know, trying to figure out, oh, is this the right guy? How is he going to fit in? I think that's the point. You guys made reference to this earlier as well. The 4 guys that, you know, there are 4 now coordinators, not just that's not the whole staff. There are 4 individual player development coordinators, guys who coached in the G League, guys who know what it takes, what the directives are from a front office to develop players. And you have guys of those 4 that know Billy Donovan and that have a good track record with AK. So I think, based on track record, I think you guys were using the term benefit of the doubt, right? I want to give Arturis and this front office the benefit of the doubt, because we know people are hesitant because we know what that's like. When we give the benefit of the doubt with this organization, sometimes it has not paid off and it's hurt the organization maybe in the long run. I think based on track record, you give this front office enough leeway to understand and at least justify why they go after a player like Patrick Williams, because I think a lot of front offices around the NBA have to make similar justifications because there was so much unknown going into this draft.
Adam, when you look at a player like Lauri Markkanen, do you believe that there's talent in there that can be unlocked and he can be developed to a point where you start to feel better about what his arc looks like?
I do. And again, this is the same line of thinking that we just talked about with the front office. Think about Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City and who was his GM? Wheeling and dealing Sam Presti, who apparently is going to have every pick in every draft going forward from here on out because he changed his personnel constantly in Oklahoma City. Billy Donovan had a different roster just about every single season he was there, and they were a perennial playoff team. Were they a number one or two seed? No, I understand that. They were a middle pack Western Conference playoff team, which is a pretty good considering the depth of that conference the last, you know, the better part of the last decade. And to get to the playoffs every year because of that depth with all that personnel shifting tells me that Billy Donovan and the people that he's brought in around him in Oklahoma City at least have an eye for and a feel for developing talent. When you turn Lou Dort into a viable bench player, a guy who was unheralded coming out of Arizona State, when you turn Shai Gilgeous-Alexander into a real scoring threat when he was a secondary player in Los Angeles with the Clippers, that tells me you have a feel for how to coach. When you've coached multiple guys who are going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, Durant, Harden, Chris Paul, you get the sense that there is an understanding of management as well. Beyond the young guys, you know how to deal with some of the veteran guys. So that's, for all those reasons, I give Billy Donovan the same benefit of the doubt in trying to unlock the potential of somebody who clearly has shown flashes of being a really good player in this league in Lauri Markkanen, and not an all-star necessarily, but a really strong player. I have to give him the benefit of the doubt because of that, because I've seen what I've seen from Lauri, and I've seen what I've seen from Billy, and I think those things combined have potential.
Karnishev has said that he's got to be picky here in free agency with the limited cap space that they have. Do you have any idea what they're looking for or who they're looking for?
I mean, it would be nice to get somebody who you feel completely comfortable with as a primary ball handler. That's why I'm sure, you know, I heard some of the rumors about the Westbrook stuff, not from anybody in our organization, but just around the league and people texting like, hey, that'd be fun if Westbrook was in Chicago. And the thought of that, understanding that you'd have to give up some serious capital, whether through the draft or with the current roster, I still feel like having a primary ball handler would be great. I would have loved to have had a CP3 type in Chicago with so many young players, and I think he'll do a good job with the young guys in Phoenix now. But I understand needing to be picky. So what do you focus on? Because Otto Porter is opting back in. You're still a year away from kind of taking a lot of the salary off the books with another free agent class that's going to be pretty scary, like in terms of a high level of talent next year. So with that in mind, it's probably a good choice to not mortgage everything for this upcoming season with so many unknowns that are attached to it and the short turnaround like you guys talked about, and kind of focus on developing the guys that you do have. Maybe you find a skill set for Kobe White that's really consistent as a ball handler. Maybe Zach LaVine becomes more of a perimeter-oriented scorer and combines that with his ability to get to the rim. Maybe you find something in Wendell Carter or Lauri Markkanen offensively, and then maybe you then operate next year or the next free agent cycle picturing this new look core with an expanded skill set that you were hoping would develop anyway, and now you can make better decisions on where to put that money to try to bring in a free agent, or you have a better understanding of your capital to try to make a trade.
Adam, how surprised are you that we have the offensive disaster that we have with our favorite football team?
I think when you look at the offensive line issues, obviously the personnel shifting, the COVID issues the last few weeks, and I think rightfully criticized play calling, and that includes Bill Lazor this past week. I think when you combine those things, it shouldn't be that much of a shock. And I've heard the same things that you guys have heard, like, well, there's no quarterback that can make it work behind this line. Well, there are plenty of other quarterbacks that we could have brought in that are more mobile, or, you know, have the ability to run the ball better than Foles does, or Trubisky would be able to do this better than Foles. Like, I'm not shocked when there's this much dysfunction in terms of trying to figure out the personnel and trying to execute. But all of these things are complementary. I mean, complementary football is the most important thing on both sides because you got 11 guys and you have to be in concert with one another. It's got to be play calling. It's got to be offensive line execution. And then it's got to be on the quarterback as well. and none of those things have been optimal over the course of the last 4 weeks.
Are you going to get a Bears game?
I keep looking, and I'm like, I would love to just be home. I would just love to be home for a weekend, but I don't think there's that many chances coming up. In all honesty, there might be a Detroit game in there somewhere that I've got a shot at maybe being home for. But other than that, I don't know, man. I'd like to be home for a week.
I wouldn't wish that on your eyeballs to watch that offense for 3 hours.
Yeah, what a thing to have to balance, right? You're like, man, do I want to stay home, be in my hometown, sleep in my own bed, right, or do I not want to have to deal with a team that may be on the downswing? I think that's the other thing. We're getting into this later portion of the year. We want to have some impactful games just for our own, you know, entertainment as broadcasters. So I'm hoping for those.
Right. You had how many Brady games have you had so far?
We've had them, three times, I think, now at this point.
That's pretty good. That's got to be great, especially early. Did you get his first one, or weren't you in early with Brady too?
We had his first home game, so that was week two against Carolina, and then we had week three on the road in Denver, and then we had a game out in Las Vegas as well. So seeing him operate and getting to talk to him as well, I've covered Brady. I've called a bunch of his games on radio, you know, probably a half dozen at least, maybe up to 10 in my career. But to actually sit down for a TV production meeting, and, you know, granted, he's on the phone, but to have a conversation with him, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get why people, why broadcasters, why media, why fans are so quick to defend him, why they seem to gravitate towards him. I understand it. He's got an aura about him.
He's
got
dreamy. He's dreamy. He's a dreamy guy.
We actually legitimately, I say this for, as this is 100% true. Schlereth asked him, as the first question of a production call, goes, "All right, Tom, before we get into anything, handsome off, you, Garoppolo, go." And we did not get a real, like, solidified answer from him. But, hey, man, you've seen those cartoons that Fox uses. The cartoons are good looking.
Yeah. He's dreamy. I mean, forget the fact he's the best quarterback that's ever played. He's also dreamy.
Yeah. We can't wait to talk basketball with you as you get going with the Bulls. I know it's coming up soon. It's great to hear how well you're doing, and we appreciate it as always, Adam. Thank you.
Stay safe out there, buddy.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate y'all.
There you go. Adam Amin. He is the TV voice of the Bulls. He is also doing NFL games on Fox. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. It's our buddy's Cap's 60th birthday today. These guys just told me earlier that I was too hard on him today. We'll play you my message, Tim. Waddle, you can judge. Was I too harsh?
The roast.
I thought I was here for a roast.
I was here for a roast.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we're talking plenty of NBA draft. We'll get into the Bears, too, later in the show. Even with the bye week, there's a lot to get after. Let me take this call, then I'll play you the birthday wish. We all did birthday wishes for Cap.
Yes.
It's his 60th birthday.
Yeah, I was never under the impression this was a roast. So maybe I missed. Well, maybe I got the wrong information.
Really? I mean, how many of your guy friends do you call up and wish them a happy birthday? You don't. You're either going to bust their chops or you're going to send them a text, right?
Pretty much.
So when someone says, "Hey, can you record a message?" It's a roast. We're here to roast.
Okay. All right. I mean,
that's how I talk. Okay.
I think Chris Bleck and I sent a very sincere message.
Yeah,
I think Waddles was also very sincere and heartfelt.
Yeah, we can play them all here. Yeah. Let me take Joe and Worth really quick. The Friendly Village. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So I just didn't understand all the hate we were getting. I mean, even from guys I know at work. It was just no one liked the pick, the second pick. I just don't understand it because we finally got something new going on. We've been in this rut just in Chicago in general, and we haven't had anything new from the top to the bottom in a long time. And, I mean, even though that he's just a VP – we got some new blood in there, and he has a different way of thinking. So, for one, it's going to change the way things are done in there. But his main goal and his main thing that he does with players is development. And this kid, I mean, I watched videos on him last night for hours, and he does.
Did you really watch videos for hours?
So for the two top picks, yes. These two guys, I can't even remember his name, the second pick, but right. I mean, he's got a nice 3-pointer.
Sure.
And it looks fluid. And then the top pick, he has a nice jump shot too, but he does have that body frame of like a Kawhi, and he's a bigger dude. I can't believe the guy's 18 years old. He could jump in immediately and help this team on defense, which they need dramatically, especially after letting go of Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was the only guy that could stick the best defensive player on another team. And, I mean, that's hard. That's pretty bad to say about a professional NBA team. I mean, he's a point guard, and he's your best defensive player. But on top of that, the coach, Billy Donovan, he can adapt. And only if we could get that same type of guy in Chicago for the football team, it would be unbelievable, and we would soar. But I just want to hear what you guys got to say. Love the show. Keep doing your thing, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. How do you say, Black, the second pick? Is it Marko Simonovic?
Yeah, that works.
Marko Simonovic is the stash guy.
Not the one that's 34. Let's be clear.
Yeah, he's what, 21?
As was going around on Twitter, if you did a quick Google, you're like, they drafted a 34-year-old? What is this?
No. And they say that he's a perfect candidate for this. You know, he doesn't, his body is not one that looks like an NBA-ready body. And he's big, but they don't know who he can guard. But let's see if they could develop him.
My guess is he'll never come over.
You think so? I mean, it's worth it. Hey, it's better than selling a pick for the owner's pocket.
If you don't think he'll ever come over, why wouldn't they have used that second round pick on someone that had a better chance to maybe?
They don't have room.
Okay.
They don't have room on the
roster. They have a roster spot.
Yeah. So, like, because it's such a
stacked roster.
Well, you wouldn't like draft someone and then immediately bring them to the roster and then try it. Like you just can't do that. So it's kind of like a sneaky way of
can he have Felicio seat
using your pick without having to use it. Which you know, like Sylvie said, who knows? Maybe 3 years down the road, you do bring him over, and maybe he has developed, and boom, he's your Jokic.
Worth a try. For sure. And they signed...
Well, Felicio's taking up a seat, isn't he?
Yeah.
Can we have that seat?
It's an expensive seat.
Can we have it back?
Right.
You can't have that one back. No.
They signed the kid from Kansas, too. The point guard from Kansas. So he was supposed to be a second-round pick. They're bringing him into camp to see if he could fill like a Chris Duhon-type role. Let me play you this is the message to Cap. They played it early today. Cap, happy 60th birthday. This was my message, Jim. You tell me, Waddle, if it was too harsh.
It's time for Great Moments in David Kaplan History, brought to you by CBDMD. When you hear about their great deals, use the promo code Waddle. Hey, Cap, you remember that time that Kevin Garnett held Brett in his arms and could get him to stop crying? That was awesome. Do you remember that time when no one knew about Dirk Nowitzki except for you, and you told the basketball world how great Dirk Nowitzki is? That was awesome. Do you remember that time that Jerry Krause wanted to trade Scottie Pippen to Seattle, but you were the one who broke the story and you stopped the trade? That was awesome. So here's my question. If you're 60 years old, how do you only have like 5 stories? You've been on this earth for 60 years and you only have the same freaking 5 stories to tell us every week? Happy birthday, Cap. We love you. Have a great day.
Okay, so you just spent, how long was that? How long did that take?
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
A minute eight.
Yeah. You spent 4 seconds wishing him happy birthday and a minute for busting his balls.
Am I not here for a roast?
I didn't know it was a roast.
I don't think the instructions were to roast him.
I mean, like, I thought at least you'd go 50-50 balance.
You guys
like,
did
happy
the roast
birthday,
route
bust
too.
Your jobs.
We didn't like, roast. We
you
did not
roasted.
Roast. There was no
well,
roast.
Well, that was a little bit of a joke, but it didn't dominate the entire presentation. Like, I mean, I gave him a little jab, but
I made fun of myself first, playing into their joke with the CBDMD.
Oh, yeah, look at you. I mean, yeah, yes. you're a martyr. Yeah, right. And you spent a minute busting his marbles. Happy birthday. Whack, whack, whack. Take that. That was my
although
shoe.
I will say, if Sylvie's is too mean, Waddle, yours is way too nice. You are such a nice guy. You are just the nicest.
Like, if they asked me to send any of you guys a happy birthday wish,
sweet.
I'd take a little jab at you, but then spend the majority of the wish wishing you happy birthday.
You were sweet. It was very nice.
Well, that's what you're supposed to be.
It was very sweet.
Hey, I got one rule in life, Chris. Don't be a Richard.
No, I know. Should we play that, too?
You're a sweet boy.
It's one thing to send, like, a scoop of vanilla ice cream, but I don't think that was ice cream on that spoon.
Listen how sweet this is.
Cappy, happy birthday. It's your buddy and former radio partner, Tom Waddle, calling to say happy 60th birthday to you. You're probably in your basement doing some deadlifts, or maybe you're at the tattoo parlor or in that freezer tank at cryo. Regardless, I just wanted to say I love you, buddy. Happy 60th birthday. There is no kinder soul on this planet than you. There's nobody out there that has more enthusiasm for what he does than you. You do say some crazy sometimes,
right?
But we all do that. Anyway, I love you, brother. And I hope you have a fantastic and very happy 60th birthday.
Like I did, you know, Danny Zetterman did send me a text to go, hey, guys, we want to roast Cap and make him feel like crap about himself. Send me a minute-long something about, you know, that really kicks him in the nads and he feels bad about himself afterwards.
Waddle's was like my best friend's wedding, and Sylvie's was like that scene from Reservoir Dogs where the guy gets his ear cut off.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Waddle's stroking his soul. You know, I want to stroke your soul. You're such a kind soul.
What?
Soul. Jeez. He said soul.
Soul? Yeah, like, soul.
Yeah, there's a guy that used to bring stuff to you every day or every week or whatever.
I know, but I mean...
What?
He's very nice.
Yes, he is.
I mean, Cap would have brought you a present,
Sylvie. Like I said, he says some crazy you-know-what.
You just give it to your neighbors.
That's right. Another dig. That's another dig. Not only did you spend a minute eight giving him the business, he brought you a meal and you gave it to a neighbor.
It's when we were going through a turbulent time.
Not even a neighbor. You sent it out to the neighbor list and allowed them to take it.
The whole time is turbulent. Everything is turbulent.
It wasn't just, hey, my next door neighbor. It was, hey, I've got 40 people here. Send out a mass text and see if anyone wants an omelet.
Still someone so strange. It. The fact that someone took that rogue
someone
omelet.
Someone took the omelet,
yes.
We have like a text chain with neighbors who,
to when there's what, garbage
more
disposals?
Food than we can need. Yes, if anybody needs this, some extra food.
What else do you guys do on that chat? What else do you swap on that chat?
Did I hear some keys ringing?
We got Waddle's World coming up next and JD on the Bears at 4.
Who has DraftKings?
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports fans. With aerobics in the air, so many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yeah, Waddle's World's brought to you by your favorite bank, Wintrust Community Bank. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC, that was a inappropriate GIF, whatever you want to call it, that you sent to the text chain, Sylvie.
You're a soul stroker.
You're a dirtbag.
PB even recognized it.
Yeah.
Good time, Patty Boyle.
Yeah.
He knew the drill. He roasted Cap this morning.
Not, you know what? I follow instructions. Can we hear what Black and Abdallah sent?
Theirs was good. Like, every time you talk...
Would you say that Sylvie's was the most mean-spirited?
Well, see, like, before we played them, I listened to Sylvie's yesterday. I saw it here in the audio
system. What was your first response?
Abdallah, what did I say to you? I go, That's a little rough.
That's a little high. That's a little chin music there. That's a little high heat.
I thought we were just leaving, like...
And that's coming from the two dudes that literally tweet out a gif of us inside of his head.
Yeah. Like I was like, wow.
Like, if he was turning 51 or 53...
Yeah, I know, I mean, like, it's 60,
you know? This is kind of a one of those birthdays where you're like, wow, am I really 60? What he could use is a pat on the back, not a kick in the balls. I mean, like, really?
It wasn't a kick. It was a tap.
You play the tap game.
Meantime, you have Bleck and Abdallah, who every time they do a commercial or they do a wish like they did today, you think we're in improv class. We're at the Improv Olympic now.
Who, us?
It's time to promote the NBA draft. Go!
Listen, all I know is we were requested.
That's a shot at Jones.
We're just reading the scripts that we're given.
All kinds of ammo. Shot, shot, shot.
Thought Joe made a nice promo.
I thought he did, too.
Play there. Play yours, guys.
All right, this is our message.
All right, 3, 2, 1. This is the promo recording for Danny Zetterman and Jeff Meller. Is this right? It says the happy birthday David Kaplan rejoin, but it... Listen, they're just trying to get us in trouble here.
No.
60? 60? Hold on, 60? This is just going to turn into Cap yelling about the two dudes in Libertyville because they can't even cut a promo for Cap's show the right way.
Well,
it says 60? Danny wrote 60. Is this a joke?
Let me try. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Cap. It's the two dudes from Libertyville. Happy 60th birthday. Does that sound sincere? Is that sincere enough?
I mean, it's pretty sincere, but, okay. But like, I feel like they're playing a prank on us, right? Like, because... He's got the backwards hat on all the time. He's got the cutoff shirts. He's working out harder than anyone else. 60, though. 60. This has to be a prank.
I'm going to keep reading the script.
Okay.
Thank you for programming our show for all of these years. We really appreciate the help from such an astute radio professional as yourself.
See, that's funny.
Does that sound sincere enough?
All these years, we've only had the show.
I'm just reading the script, man.
6 to 8.
Just follow the script.
Monday through Friday.
This is what it says.
For what? Like 2 months now?
This is what it says.
For all these years?
This is what it says.
60. It says 60 here on the copy. I don't know if that's right.
Is this Cap's part? Hello, fellow kids?
Yeah, yes, I think that is. That actually sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So there it is. There's the promo for Cap. And shout out to the show.
Thespians!
And Cap, happy birthday. We really do mean it.
Happy birthday, Cap.
Thank you.
See, that wasn't as mean spirited.
Yeah, just in the middle.
Hey, tell me that story about Sean Payton or Sean Kemp again or whatever it was.
I did theater in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, hold on, give me another example.
Did Pat Boyle have one?
Yeah, he knew the drill.
Did he go in on him as well?
Yes.
Pat was full scale roast.
I got the wrong invite. See, Pat was sneaky funny because when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this is actually sincere. Like, this is real. And then he gets you.
Okay. Let me hear it. Nobody wants to hear sports stories anyway.
Hey, this is Pat Boyle from The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 and Cap and Company Survivor. I want to wish a happy birthday to a Chicago icon and treasure, a true legend who has brought so much happiness to so many Chicago sports fans for decades. And in my mind, he's a Hall of Famer at his craft and a Hall of Fame person. So happy 32nd birthday to Patrick Kane. I can't believe... What? Huh? It's Cap's birthday?
That was good.
Huh. Well, happy 73rd birthday, Sparkles. I assume you won't be celebrating with Ryan Pace like last year. And by the way, Hoodie, I did email you the contact info on a few therapists. Take it from me. Couch time is a must when you're working with you-know-who. Take that.
All right, he went to the Sylvie School of Happy Birthday.
Oh yeah, he did. There was also some improv there.
There was. Yeah,
Some acting going on.
Was there anyone? Like, am I the
yeah, you're the only nice one.
Yeah,
you were.
The only nice one. Carmen did, what's his name from The Fan? What's the...
Francesa.
Mike Francesa.
Oh, let me hear that one.
It was good. It was,
while Chris looks for it,
it's very...
I would like to take this time to remind you all that the E in ESPN...
is entertainment.
...stands for entertainment.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand for improv, though.
It does not stand for improv. Doesn't. It stands for entertainment.
All right. I got a subject for you two. It's Cap's birthday, and go.
The key here, Sylvie, is always with the yes and. You never want to say no to anything. It's always yes and. That's the key to a quality improv.
Hello, Cap. How are you? It's Mike Francesa. I want to wish you a happy birthday. I understand you're 60. That's about as long as I've been doing radio here in New York. A real radio market, a real city. I'm better than you. I'm better than Carmen and Jerko and everybody else, but happy birthday nonetheless. I know everybody in the business. I've been doing this 45 years. 65 years, and I talked to Theo, and he said you're a real mensch, and I saw Sandler the other day, and he says, L'chaim, and happy birthday. I figured now I could count to 60 in honor of your big day. One, two, three, four, five. Sick. What's that dog? What? You call dog's here. I gotta go. Happy birthday.
That's great. Was that?
That's good.
Mike Francesa.
That's good. Good. I feel like I'm on an island right now. I feel like I got left out of the joke.
I thought the best one was, is since we're on this, I thought it was, now Hoodie does a great impression of me. I'm here for that. But I thought, did you guys hear when Hoodie called to Cap? Cap calling Cap, wishing him a happy birthday.
You and I were thinking the same thing, so I just pulled that one up.
This is great. Wow. This is Cap calling Cap, wishing him a happy birthday.
Hey, man. Hey, Cap. It's Cap. I just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. Dobbin, you the man. I got the top down. It's 38 degrees, and it's your birthday. So take that. Right now, listen to Dire Straits. So good. It's so good. Phenomenal band. I'm going to have a great show with the great, phenomenal Jay Hood. I'm going to get a workout in, and I'm going to eat some fast food. You think I'm going to have steak today? Hard pass. Take that. I'm going to have dinner with the Trubisky's. We're going to have fun. I'm going to have a nice wine, and I'm going to settle in and listen to some more of this great Dire Straits. Love this song. Happy birthday. Hey, Cap, take that. Take that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then I'm going to go to Sylvie's house. I'm going to drop him off some food. It's going to be a great day. Happy birthday, buddy. Dire Straits, so good.
So good.
Casey, so good. Did I ever tell you about Casey Kasem? Oh, so good. So good, Casey. Oh. So good.
That's awesome.
Wasn't that great?
Oh,
that was
that's good. Fantastic.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday, Cap. It's like also that. Michael Wilbon's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to Michael Wilbon.
Yes. Woo! I got an injury.
You know, they don't make coaches like Joe Gibbs anymore.
No, they don't.
I covered all the games. Joe Gibbs, they don't make coaches like anymore.
I've got a sad sports story when we come back, and I also have the nuttiest story of the day when we come back. This hour is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com. Take that.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
He having himself a Peter Brady birthday party where everyone's been invited and nobody shows up, too? Is that what's happening?
It's not nice.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
That was kind of mean.
Stroker.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Hey, by the way, as I said earlier, there's a sad story coming out of the NBA. Warrior star Klay Thompson is going to miss the entire season with a torn Achilles. Remember, he's coming back from the ACL, too, right?
From the NBA Finals, right?
MRI.
Do you remember that? How heroic he was, and people thought maybe he could come. Didn't he come back and shoot the free throws, too?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I mean, like, I was so looking forward to the Warriors being back together.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they're a must-watch. People have tweeted about it, the Splash Brothers not being together. That team is a fun watch. It makes the West fun. Late night basketball better. Helps ratings. You want as many great teams as possible. And without
that sucks.
It sucks. And you feel terrible for him.
By the way, today's injury update brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. No need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu. Now to the nonsense. Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
All right, here's your headline. You ready? Accused tree humper busted on High Street.
One more time.
Accused tree humper busted on High Streets. A half-dressed Connecticut man who was spotted humping trees in a stranger's backyard is behind bars on multiple charges, records show. According to a Naugatuck Police Department report, officers were dispatched Thursday afternoon to a residence on High Street after a 911 caller reported there was an unknown male in a backyard half-dressed humping trees, screaming and eating branches.
What did the tree say to the tree
Happy
humper?
Happy birthday, wildcat!
No. What did the tree say to the tree humper?
Hold on. I'm going to get this.
Leave.
That's stupid. I thought it was going to be something bark.
I was thinking bark. Yeah, I was thinking something
sap,
bark or...
Some sap, you know, tree sap or...
Leave.
Leave. That's not bad. I mean, like,
wasn't that the joke from Back to the Future?
Which one was
isn't
it? Make like a tree and leave.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah.
So you should make like a tree and get out of here. Isn't that what they say in Back to the Future?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
When cops arrived, the suspect ran into a neighboring house, causing its owners to flee their home in fear. The intruder, identified as John Fignar, 36. Subsequently exited the residence and was placed under arrest. The police report does not indicate which half of Fignar was unclothed. While in custody, he allegedly spat at and assaulted police, resulting in a felony charge being filed against him, along with misdemeanor breach of peace, resisting, and trespassing counts. Scheduled for a court appearance today, he's locked up in lieu of a $25,000 bond. He has two other pending criminal charges, according to court records. He was arrested in August for assault and breach of peace and was busted in September for marijuana possession, breach of peace, and resisting.
People inside the Twitch channel are making their own punchlines up to now what the tree
said. Can we get a good one?
The tree humper.
Come on.
There's a good one. Yeah, there's one good one. I don't know if I could say it.
Yeah, you can.
You can say nice stump. You can say nice stump.
Yeah.
Nice stump, and then now we both have wood.
Now that one... I don't know.
That's good. That should have been the one you said.
That's good. That's good.
I got that one. Nope. I got that one. I got that one.
The Twitchers got it.
I got that one. Yeah, sorry. I got that one.
Listen, I heard Theo use the S word the other day.
On the internet.
Yeah, it didn't get through. It didn't get through.
I did, yeah. If you're listening on the app or you're watching us on Twitch, you get all. Every time someone goes blue, you're going to get it.
When you're like a little kid, you know. Sylvie's like at home talk. Listening to it. Oh, he said the S word.
I'm like I don't love Theo enough, and he swears on the radio, you know? Fantastic.
All right, that's all I got
for
you.
That was a great story, the tree humper story. That's a Hall of Famer.
Accused tree humper busted on High Street.
Yeah, I love it. That's fantastic. All right, coming up in 2 short minutes, J.D., we will talk to him about the big picture Bears. Does he really believe, like some have suggested, that George is pissed. That's in 2 minutes.